Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1183. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Welcome back, Kevin. How the hell are you?
Oh, I am feeling a little refreshed, but also feeling like somehow I missed a month of WWE programming, despite the fact that I was only gone a week. As I was just saying beforehand, the number of returns that happened in that week w is something that was pretty wild. Because one that even really, and I mean, I guess the first one that caught me, and I knew that it had happened since I did watch SummerSlam well after the fact. I knew that Kevin Owens came back. I'm not sure I had realized the context in which he had come back when I saw that news. So I was unaware that he was in the number put into the number one contenders matchup along with Gunther, for that matchup at SummerSlam. So that was one of those. Oh, and I don't know why. Like, even though I saw the news that he came back, like there wasn't anything in my brain that said he came back in a match. Like, I figured he came back after somebody won to challenge them and just like came out on the stage or something like that, I suppose, was what I had in mind. But boy, I was wrong. And it also produced a heck of a segment too this past week with KO and CM Punk rehashing some old internet stories here on
Yes, they are
on the
absolutely
microphones.
yes. We are for the in the context of the show, we're not being given the reason why there's tension between them. Really, why Kevin Owens hates CM Punk. And if you know the if you've ever heard the real story, and Kevin Owens, and it's made the rounds quite a bit, obviously, in our TikTok Reels world. It's hard to miss, especially if your wrestle your algorithm is wrestling is tends to be very wrestling focused. The story of CM Punk kind of ripping on Kevin Owens for wearing a shirt and shorts to the ring and not being in trunks or a singlet, and it's been a story that has been exaggerated over time, because even when Kevin Owens retold the story when he was still Kevin Steen. He kind of laughed it off that it was that big of a deal. Now,
Well,
apparently, maybe
yes, I would
there's things that
agree.
have hap there have things that have happened since then. KO was not necessarily a fan of Punk after what happened in AEW, because the Young Bucks are very good friends of his. There have been talk here and there that that some of these feelings may be legitimate. It's pretty much been the MO of most CM Punk feuds. We're kind of either outright saying or whispering or implying Punk was a dick to someone, 20 years ago. So,
Yes, that is
and they're not over it.
an undertone to pretty much all of his feuds in the WWE at this point. In this return,
Yeah,
I should say,
but
just to be
they
clear.
really played it like, okay, this is a powder keg. It could explode at any moment. All this in the officials surrounding the ring. They played it up very, very well. Of course, you get that the rare piece of shit on bleeped out, but this
Oh.
is said into a microphone from Kevin Owens, I should say. Yeah, a pretty intense segment. Definitely a strong feud, strong title feud, strong first feud for Owens to be back for. Interesting to note that they will be doing the match on television a week from Friday.
Oh.
I mean, with a, I guess without a real PLE in September, we're just gonna kind of spread some things out across the rest of August and all the way to the end of September, essentially. is what it feels like.
Yeah.
We've got because we've got
I mean, you can't
a
go that whole time without some type of big matchup here.
right. We've got a large amount
I
of
mean, you
shows they're going to
could,
present as a
but.
big deal that aren't the PLE. We're doing there's a SmackDown in Toronto. There's now Raw in Mexico City with Roman Reigns defending the title. There's SmackDown's also going to be in Mexico City, so who knows what they're going to do for that. There's the Sunday Night's main event. There's the AAA and NXT shows. There's the shows they're doing to combat AEW pay-per-views in both August and September. There's going to be a lot. It's where there's going to be a lot of WWE, special content or big episodes of the regular TV show across 5 or 6 weeks, but there's also go not going to be a PL any ESPN PLEs either.
Yeah, and the TV ones tend to be they try to hype them like the PLEs, and they'll say that this is a
They do. They.
PLE like or PLE level card, and I'll probably laugh at them and tell them that they're wrong. But it kind of is what it is in you've got to be hyped about whatever product 24/7 365 these days.
Right.
So, got to be something special around the corner here. So I'm not gonna really argue with that kind of thing. So, yeah. So that segment definitely took up a lot of SmackDown there, but it also it had Cody Rhodes involved, who was with another person that again I knew about his return at SummerSlam. Not quite sure why I didn't completely think it through and realize that he was the one that ends up costing Cody Rhodes the
Yes.
championship match quite directly against CM Punk here. So those two definitely going to have a side feud here now going on, which is
Yes.
kind of interesting.
Yes, yeah, it's interesting. Yes, it's for the first time in a long time, Cody is feels like he's being kept away from the title. And he's going to have this feud with Orton. I imagine maybe at one of these shows coming up, they're going to throw that match on there. Again, and any of these matches they're going to take place at on a T on WWE TV, or they're going to take place on Sunday night's main event, or whatever. They don't have to have clean finishes. It doesn't have to be the end of a feud.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's
We
the
can
other
drag this shit out
part
for
why
yeah.
I'll laugh about the PL. Most of the PLEs, they have some type of definitive finish, or at least you kind of know that they're furthering their feud because they're just getting into it. But yeah, any of these ones on TV, it feels like there's going to be a continuation to a later ending spot.
Right, yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, I guess it's something that I've been arguing for a little bit here, about Cody Rhodes just staying away from the title.
Yeah, oh yeah. I think we've all been at this point. And again, it gives SmackDown two intense feuds to build around in the coming weeks and months. Which right now Monday Night Raw doesn't really have, and we'll get there in terms of what seems interesting on that show. It's maybe one thing, whereas SmackDown at least has these two things going on involving their big names, and they feel important. I mean, the obviously in the Punk Owens story is interesting because Kevin Owens left a heel. Obviously, he came back to a huge reaction. And we haven't really turned him back heel. So
Oh.
it's a different it's a it's again it's that it's one of those it's those weird dynamic matches that we've been getting all year. It definitely it
Yeah, it's one of those things that I feel like I don't know if I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth when I say this, but the everyone having history with each other through, we've kind of joked about stop admitting how long this stuff's been going on, and this has been going on for 15 or 20 years, like. They try to get to that gray zone entirely too early sometimes, I feel like, just from a perspective wise. And you've got to have kind of a catalog like Kevin Owens or like Randy Orton or like Cody Rhodes, where you can draw back on this stuff and you can have more of a gray feud. And when they try to do it with younger talent, I don't think it works as well because you don't have that kind of heel baby face kind of history that both athletes are pulling on, whether it's Orton and Rhodes or Owens and CM Punk. Like, you can definitely point out baby face and heel runs for all four. So
I mean, the Orton Punk feud is the one that has the dynamic that's going to be kind of topsy-turvy. You're not going to find very many places where that are going to cheer Cody Rhodes over Randy Orton. But Sunday night's main event is in Atlanta. It's Cody's hometown, so I imagine they'll try to do the match there. The one place Cody will should
get
get
a
cheered
more
more.
positive reaction.
Yes.
Yeah, it would be probably a bad plan if St. Louis were on the list,
No, that's probably not a
for
good. No. That would not be a good idea for one Mr. Rhodes. But yeah, I mean, sometimes in these kind of weird dynamic matches, it can be clunky, and we'll get to situations where it's clunky. But I think with these two feuds, it can really work. They're very intense. Again, it's really helped pull. I think it's just in a matter of days, essentially, kind of pulled SmackDown to a higher level. To have two big feuds going, two big intense feuds going on at the same time.
yeah, it definitely helps bring more to the table there. Continuing on with my surprises from SummerSlam Night 2, being followed up on the SmackDown here. Second match of, or no, first match of the night, second segment of the show here. Baron Corbin is defending the United States Championship against Trick Williams. I did not get a chance to listen to your guys' reaction while I was on vacation. This is definitely one of the more baffling things that
Oh,
I have seen in
that's the that
in a
that that
long
that that's
time.
underselling it. I mean, this is baffling. This it's baffling. It's the worst thing. It's the worst in a year of questionable creative decisions. This is the most questionable. This is the worst thing they've done. Like, what on earth could you possibly be thinking to not just have Baron Corbin beat Trick Williams? The US Championship. Haven't beat him again in the rematch. I mean, are we getting to. Is WWE being really. Seems like they're walking back some of their call-ups to a degree. We've seen Sol Ruka lose the US title. We've
Oh.
seen Fatal Influence kind of go up and down in their TV time. Pretty much we've even seen Javon Evans, lose, 50-50, if not lose more than he's won in the last couple of months. It definitely feels like they're for everyone but Oba Femi, who's get together. There's the black loss, but it was a loss to Brock, of course, that he's of course more than
Made
paid
up for.
back, more than made up for. It feels like all of our most of our most all of our 2026 call-ups have hit their first road their first bump on the road, and maybe even more than one bump on the road in some cases. And I don't know why, especially in Trick's situation, because it's just like, I don't think he is ready to be put in any kind of a world title situation. And of course, the world champion is a babyface. And of course, not that they're not afraid of that anymore, but it's just not an intriguing match, him and Punk, even though they've tried to tease it. It's not a match that's working for me right now. And go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think, just even to compare Oba and Trick, Trick hasn't gotten that big. Like you said, like even though Oba has a loss, like the guy's won every other match.
Yeah.
And Trick Williams just hasn't been that kind of dominant. You
No,
know,
he
like.
hasn't. We've commented. He's just been wrestling these little fellas, and then the first time he
Yeah,
wrestles with
guy
someone his
his
own size,
size.
he loses. Even if he got hit with a belt, it's just like this is just and to just Biker Baron Corbin, bringing 2000. Bringing 2016 Baron Corbin back with no hair, like just with no hair, like what are we doing?
I'll at least give him credit that he looks more threatening again. It seems like he had lost all that weight and also had lost the muscle in the process.
Oh yeah.
I feel like he's at least added the muscle back to a leaner frame. So I suppose good on him for getting in
Yeah.
better shape, but it doesn't really help me a whole lot in getting behind Baron Corbin. Or this
Well,
role
no.
that they're putting him in. Because, I mean, that's the other interesting thing. I'm like, I kind of knew when we talked about the preview and just saying that Trick was going to win. It was just like, well, Corbin's dead in the water then. And, like, what do you really do with that guy? And I don't really love this option either. Well, actually, I love this option less about him w winning the championship. And again, like you said, retaining it in the secondary matchup. Like, were they, to me, that's when they're going, yeah, we're investing in Baron Corbin again. And it's just like,
Unless he's just
okay.
gonna lose the belt. Unless he's just gonna lose the belt to Carmelo Hayes next week, which again, baffling decisions. Decision making around bringing Baron Corbin back. I've heard the theories that some of these guys are being brought back because they've been humbled and they're willing to accept a lower pay to work. So
Oh.
they're coming in cheap,
Yeah,
which TKO
I've
loves.
definitely made the Sheamus trade for Baron Corbin, like a payroll trade, basically, comparisons here. 'Cause I would imagine Sheamus, rightfully so, should be able to ask for more money.
And it's just again, so this the questionable this decision to bring Baron Corbin back when he's got nothing new to bring to the table. And
Oh,
then the decision to, okay, if you're gonna bring him back, why bring him back and put him right against Trick for the US title? It's his first match back. You don't want to, even if it's a Baron Corbin, you don't want somebody to lose their first match back, because then in a title match, because then where the hell do they go?
right.
And but him winning the title is still the worst option. Stopping Trick like that is still the worst option. It's still the worst option. But when he was building momentum.
I mean, I'm supposed to believe that Lil Yachty is bringing something to the table or bringing eyeballs to the table, and it's just like, well, why are you appending some guy to an act that you want to kick down the ladder? Like
It's
it's
and why are we
so like there yeah there are so many baffling things about this where it's just like
this idea that these that new people need to be humbled. They need to face some type of adversity, is what leads to Daniel Garcia and AEW barely winning a match for 2 years. And then all of a sudden, one day, yeah, you know what? We're going to push this guy. You know, and granted, it's Trick had the early run. It's just, again, if there's backstage issues with him not being humble, like, who cares? Don't punish the audience on TV. Don't punish me. What did I do wrong? I show up every week. I pay thousands of dollars to go to WrestleMania. I've supported you people. Why are you doing this to me?
Yeah. I mean, that's a fair enough take, I would say. Yeah, 'cause and I'm with you, you know, like you said, Baron Corbin just he doesn't really bring anything. He hasn't brought anything fresh to the table, and it's just like, oh, I'm gonna teach these young guys a lesson, and it's just like, Carmelo Hayes doesn't need to lose another feud. Like
No, and
he's
there's well.
already lost enough feuds on main WWE TV since his call up that he does not need another loss.
No, he
You
doesn't.
know, or even any of those other guys that have been in that US championship orbit. You know, you can bring back Ilya Dragunov for some type of a slugfest match if you want to. I feel like that guy's been cleared for kind of a while now without popping back up. And I'm trying to think of who else. I feel like there are a couple other guys that have been in that orbit that are in that younger vicinity. That you know, don't need an eat an L from Baron Corbin at any stage, honestly. Like if
No.
you want to make something of their future.
No, I agree. I'm not gonna get any argument from you there.
So, jeez. Yeah, that so yeah, Baron Corbin, he is unfortunately back and part of our lives for at least a while here now. You know, we called it, ended up happening. It is maybe one of those things that is something that happened between SummerSlam and the crowning of Chelsea Green as interim women's champ. Yeah, it's she's just the women's champ. It was kind of curious that I want to say it was sometime this weekend, maybe Friday or Saturday, that Rhea Ripley posted that she was having surgery.
Yeah,
And
it was.
was gonna be out for an extended period of time, and that this was a last resort. It made the interim championship, like I definitely would have predicted the championship differently if you had told me that this decision was coming within a week of SummerSlam.
Right, yes. Yeah, Chelsea Green, essentially the women's champion.
Yeah.
Fantastic. But
I'm
then
still for it.
I'm very for it, but unfortunately doom has occurred in multiple ways. Chelsea has her victory celebration, calls Tiffany to the ring before they can even remotely maybe argue over Tiffany being pushed off the ladder. Fatal Influence interrupts. A deal is made where a tag team championship match takes place right this second, so that then JC Jane can get a US title match next week against Tiffany. And two bad things to happen to Chelsea Green in this match. Well, the first one actually happened afterward, but she takes the pin in this match, kind of showing that we're still not in the Chelsea Green business. And then it's revealed she has a broken orbital bone. Is that what it is?
Oh, I've got to admit, I never ended up seeing what was actually mentioned as far as the injury went.
Or
But
a
that's what
skull
I
fracture.
kind of.
I think this is skull fracture. I don't have my phone by me, but I know what skull fracture sounds a little more right. And we don't know how long she's going to be out for. This is not just a very unfortunate situation right after her big moment. And she's even talking about doing interviews before this happened, talking about, this, she's had her moment. She could walk away. She could go have babies. Like,
Oh.
yeah, it's just, does she,
E
it's like she realizes that she's not, that this isn't a long-term thing. Yeah, that SummerSlam was
oh.
essentially her career moment. And then, of course,
Yeah.
she go an accident takes place, she gets hurt,
Yeah,
and
it's kind of surprising that it Tiffy did not end up with an orbital fracture either. Because, oh boy, if she didn't take a heel to the face from Fallon Henley, she's at least got a bruise that she's got to be sporting. Because, oh boy, that looks snug.
fatal influence, being in the ring when two women get hurt in a week might not be the greatest thing for them. And then if
Yeah.
there was the boot to the face was to Tiffany was a little stiff, Tiffany's ultimately gonna be fine.
Oof.
We'll see
Yeah,
where
we'll
things
see.
go for fatal influence. They might need to calm themselves down a little bit.
Well, and that is the other interesting thing, because you were talking about some of the new people being de-pushed. I'm interested to see if they give JC Jane the US championship, or if she's another one that ends up getting de-pushed, essentially, and she's the only one in her group without a championship.
Definitely very interesting. Tiffany and JC Jane's a very interesting match in that regard. Yes, because conventional wisdom should tell you that when you have a trio in wrestling, it always looks better when they're all draped in gold. Depending on
Yeah,
just
and
everything
you at
else.
least need the leader to be draped in gold, if nothing
Yes.
else.
Yeah. You definitely do. So all for all intents and purposes, she should win this match. But again, if there's some unhappiness with them, if they need to be taught a lesson, whatever, humbled,
Whatever
all the things with
randomness is
all,
happening that we're already been talking
yeah,
about with
right,
multiple
yeah.
other
So all yeah,
superstars.
all the Vince, all the Vince-isms that were supposed to be gone from this company that have.
Reared
That
their
have
ugly
returned
heads.
that have reared its ugly heads, but you're right. Yes, the Tiffany JC match is definitely one to keep an eye on.
So she did get the championship. JC did get the champ. Is that I think that's this coming Friday, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's coming Friday. All the title matches they talked about on SmackDown are taking place on Friday, except for the WWE Championship match, which is the next week.
And I suppose this was this a night two surprise here or oh no, it was a night one situation with the well Nikki Bella really turning on Paige. It's SummerSlam here. And then we ended up getting the follow-up video package on this SmackDown here.
You're pretty basic follow-up here. The Bella reunion continues to be cursed. We don't know how long Bree's gonna be out, but it does at least leave a one-on-one feud for Nikki Bella and Paige. So
Yeah,
I
I
guess
mean, it
Paige.
was always going to be kind of awkward having either awkward or someone just not in a match. You're not going to really have a 2-on-1 match in
Right.
this
I mean,
situation.
I imagine it's maybe at some point the idea would have been for Paige to get a partner, but
Oh, yeah, right.
don't. We're not going in that. We're not going that direction right now. No, obviously.
Yeah. So, that did happen. And then, oh my gosh, SmackDown, this 2-hour version here, I kind of forgot that there was only 3 matches the entire night.
Yeah.
And in this end segment, definitely in the surprise category. And this was something that was spoiled for me too. But Jade Cargill faces Charlotte Flair in the main event of SmackDown. This gets plenty of time.
It does get to get plenty of time. Yes, it perfect, perfectly fine match. People knocked it. I don't think there was a huge amount wrong with it.
Yeah.
A lot of
I
Jade.
enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was it worked well. We get to the part where the baddies get involved,
Oh, yep.
and Alexa Bliss returns and with Lily and turns off the lights. And when the lights come back on, Tatum Paxley is standing on the top turnbuckle. Actually, all the way on the top of the post, ready to hit the baddies with a crossbody to take them out, allow Charlotte Flair to get the clean win over Jade Cargill. So this Charlotte Flair Jade Cargill feud we've been building for months, and they did a good job with it throughout the night for sure as a TV main event, but we have just we've blown it off for
Yeah,
all intents and purposes.
it
Unless we get
was
a
kind of
six woman tag.
wild that this was the situation. Like, it
I
does
mean,
not really feel like
right.
the culmination of this feud that we've been teasing. What do we say, like 3 years now? Ever since
Yeah,
Jade
yeah.
Cargill came into the
Well,
company,
yeah,
like, this
Charlotte.
feels anticlimactic, to say the least.
But yeah, Charlotte. And interesting to see that, she's. Character-wise, I think she can match up well with Alexa Bliss. Charlotte, maybe not as much, but apparently Charlotte was a big proponent of Tatum Paxley joining them. I mean, we could still do six woman tags here to keep this thing going if we want to, but
Oh,
for all
yeah.
intents and purposes, Jade Cargill has lost the feud.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely ate a big L in this situation, and that part was kind of surprising too. You would have thought that maybe the save gets made after the baddies cost Charlotte the matchup, and then we can continue this thing. Obviously, though, the decision was made for Jade to eat the L here, and yeah, that was kind of interesting. And it is, it. I guess I don't feel like I've heard a timetable for when Alexa Bliss's recovery is supposed to happen. When you have a giant contraption on your arm, I always feel like it's gonna take some time. As much as I like Tatum Paxley, it's going to be interesting to see how she fits into the main roster situation here.
Yeah, no, it definitely will be.
I'm not sure that I have as high hopes for her as far as that goes, So, I guess that covers SmackDown there. So, let's move over to Raw. And I would have to say that it felt like the main focus of Raw here was the championship tournament to face Roman Reigns in Mexico City here. That really spun the wheel more on Raw than anything else. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, it's either that or the further bloodline drama, but yes, the
Oh.
tournament did spawn multiple different things going on. Again, they're making a big deal out of it. Penta faced Laredo Kid in the fir in the in the first match of the first round. Penta won, big shock. Although there was the one moment of the match that surprised me when Corey Graves on commentary noted that Laredo Kid has been wrestling since 2003. Laredo Kid does not look that old. Obviously, in a mask, he's kept himself in good shape.
Yeah.
Again, one of those situations where it's completely unnecessary to point out how old someone is, especially when most people can't really tell.
It's kind of funny. I was made aware of Laredo Kid quite some time ago, given that he used to appear in Absolute Intense Wrestling in Cleveland. Many a moon ago at this point. So yeah, it's definitely one of those guys I kind of forgot about him really having a full-on career in AAA at this point. And like you said, having been involved in wrestling for maybe even a little bit longer than I thought. Even having some history with that name. I'm not quite sure he was on my radar in 03. So, yeah, that was kind of interesting. And what was it? Dragon Lee and Dominic Mysterio was the other match, I want to say, that was set up for the tournament
No,
on the
that's not a
show.
tournament match.
Oh, what was the
Dominic was complaining
second?
he wasn't in the tournament.
Oh, that's right. So that was to make up for it.
But this match had a Laredo Kid gets to beat Dominic Mysterio clean in the middle of the ring, the AAA Mega Champion.
Yeah, that was kind of Dragon Lee has had a weird run
Did I say
on
Dragon
W.
Kid or did I say Dragon Lee?
You said Laredo Kid.
Okay. Dragon Lee gets a win over Dominic Mysterio, the AAA Mega Champion, former Intercontinental Champion. Although rumors lately swirling that Dom has been unhappy with how he's been presented on Monday Night Raw as opposed to AAA, and they possibly responded by having him lose again, this time to someone significantly who really is significantly lower on in the hierarchy than he is. Only to then have that person destroyed by Big Cass after his big win.
And Big Cass on the list of people that returned made me feel like it had been a month that I hadn't watched wrestling in because he didn't return at SummerSlam itself, and I had skipped last week's Raw because of what was the point? So yeah, kind of had forgotten that Big Cass was back. I mean, I've been arguing that AEW is just not a good big guy territory.
No, it's not.
So I don't blame Big Cass for coming back. I will be interested to see how he proceeds within the company here. You know, like
I will
I don't
too.
know what his ceiling is, honestly. Like, I guess I liked his promos against Chris Jericho in AEW, when him and Brian Keith were a thing. So I guess I never thought that he needed Enzo back. I'm glad that Enzo seems to not be back.
Yeah, definitely. We dodged a bullet there. Because that was out there. It was more than out there. It was almost like people were reporting that he'd already signed.
Yeah, and it feels like after two appearances, and as they kind of mentioned, it feels like they said that the MO followed each week because he had evidently attacked Javon Evans after his match last week, attacked Dragon Lee this week after the match, and then Javon Evans does come out to make the save. if you want to call it that, because he's still kind of got his ass handed to him too, a little bit.
Yeah. When you do a thing where you're where it's just the whole thing is about how you're, all your smaller guys are just getting thrown around by this bigger guy. It's very WCW. Kevin Nash
Oh.
just wandering down to the ring and and big booting, whatever cruiserweight and just making him look like a little bitch, It's
Like
just
a vanilla midget, maybe one might
yes,
say.
vanilla midget, vanilla midget. Yep, that's a great, that's a good one. That's a good callback. Yes. And yeah, I mean, because you give Dragon Lee the biggest single win of his WWE career, essentially, and then just have him get destroyed afterward. And he's also still got to be in the tournament next week, so he's never gonna. So it's not even like he's ever gonna get anything back on Big Cass.
Yeah, and if it is, it's definitely down the line.
Yeah.
You know, it is not going to be within the next couple of
Right.
weeks
And
here.
that's the problem with promotions that run these kinds of storylines. And again, because it's not the first time, the big guy comes back and you just have him picking all the smaller wrestlers. Well, you're not if you're never gonna if you're, none of these smaller wrestlers are gonna beat this guy. And even if they do, they're not gonna have a good match. It's not gonna look believable anyway. So it's just like just don't bother doing it and put them against at least some bigger people.
Yeah, there's definitely a line. It's kind of interesting. I do think that Javon Evans will eventually fill out and be a bigger gentleman. He's still 22, though, or whatever age he is. Maybe he's still 21. I don't know. I'm not
Not
looking at
because Javon
Wikipedia for that
Evans.
one, but.
Because in NXT, Javon Evans did have good matches with Obafemi. Maybe he's the right guy to do this with, but again, we've just brought Big Cass back, so I don't necessarily think he's gonna take an L anytime too soon.
Oh, right.
If they're gonna play out what they can
Exactly.
do, but the Baron Corbin principle, maybe they'll play out and see what they
Oh,
got with him
Baron Corbin
first.
gets a principal now. Jeez.
Yeah, it is gonna get principle, yes.
Oh, yeah, but I agree with you. Like, I would think that Big Cass is at least going to win his first couple of feuds here before the man maybe eats an L. So yeah, it's some interesting people that may be eating an L instead of him in the meantime. And
Yeah.
Javon Evans again on that list. It's kind of like, oh yeah, why did we call you up? It's just like, oh yeah, like why did you call him
Right. Yeah.
up? I guess you kind of mentioned it. This was the other stick that swirls. The drink here on Raw, especially Raw without Roman Reigns.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And it is kind of interesting too, like I guess, because has Cody been showing up on both shows recently?
No, he hasn't, no.
Just mostly SmackDown. Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, Raw definitely lost its star power this week. And they tried to fill in with Jey Uso taking on Solo Sikoa. If Jey wins the matchup later in the evening, which is agreed upon during the promo here. If Jey wins, Solo comes back to the family. If Solo wins, the family has to leave him alone. It feels like the internet is taking a liking to one Solo Sikoa here as a baby face the last couple of weeks
Yeah,
here.
it's definitely
It
happened somewhat gradually, but yeah, he's got a even last year as a heel, he was showing his his goofier persona. And now he's able to just, essentially just play stand-up comedian and just have it be, fine. So yeah, I think people are starting to take to him Which makes the decision here, as we used earlier, baffling. So we're just gonna have
This
another
show,
person.
it's gonna be like Pee-wee's Playhouse. There's just gonna be a word of the show, and everyone's gonna go ah every time we say it.
You could say that. So I don't. So we're gonna have another person being forced to join the bloodline under duress. And I guess, are they gonna fall in line or not? He's supposed to.
Oh.
It's what he agreed to. Now, granted, he agreed that the phrasing was he will be delivered to Roman Reigns. It never
Oh.
said that he has to acknowledge his tribal chief. He just said he has to deliver him. He has to be delivered. We could play with those word game. We could play some word games there with that.
They do have a little more leeway in this situation than they had with Jacob Fatu as of recent. So yeah, it will be interesting to see if they play those games. I mean, that's still a losing proposition for Solo, I feel like. You know, I
It's got
just
this. That's
really don't
the.
feel like Ro even if Roman ends up being the final boss for him, I'm like, well, you're still gonna lose this thing, man. Like,
Gonna
I don't
lose, and you're not gonna be, and you're gonna get booed. Again, it's this whole weird thing around the bloodline, where Roman and Jay in particular will never be booed. They will always be cheered now, no matter what heinous things they do. So you're really putting and they're only being put against other baby faces at this point, and those other baby faces are typically, well, except for LA Knight at this point, are typically being made to look like fools in the end. And I'm not saying that LA Knight won't look like a fool in the end.
Yeah, there's still time for that to happen. There is still time for that to happen.
Because you wind up with situations like where Royce Keyes is in, where he's just absolutely destroyed while the crowd is going crazy. And Roman Reigns looks on in full
Oh,
support,
yeah, and that was another one
while everyone
that
is while everyone has their fingers has their fingers in the air. Like, just what has happened to this business? What happened to heels? What happened to baby faces? What happened to, what happened to human psychology? What happened to crowd reactions? What happened to any of it?
it definitely makes it a little harder to judge from time to time. When the crowd is this pro, and that's the other funny thing is that at this point, I feel like multiple baby faces, or at least multiple people on the other side of the fence, starting with Seth Rollins, well, actually, maybe starting with LA Knight, then Seth Rollins, and even Solo Sikoa just pointing out how much of a bunch of dickheads the Bloodline are being, and how much they've gone back to the old system of just, using the numbers game to become dominant and not really getting dubs. And everyone's just like, whatever, we're gonna cheer Roman Reigns still, and you're just like, huh? What? Like
And
it's just
I've said it.
so
I don't
weird.
like any of this. It has been, it's just a bad way to just a bad way to do your television. And there's
Oh,
been no reason for it.
yeah.
There was no reason that the Bloodline couldn't be together as baby faces wrestling other baby faces mostly. I mean, you have your situations like Reigns and Rollins because there is, again, as you mentioned earlier, with everyone else, with others in SmackDown, the history that you can pull
Right.
from.
Yep.
But you're really putting, you. I mean, they've absolutely they neutered Jacob Fatu with this stuff completely.
Yeah, like him trying to act like a tough guy to LA Knight again this week, still came off as quite a bit of weak sauce. Like even though he rattled off his catchphrases and did all the normal Jacob Fatu stuff, he still had to walk away from the situation. Because he still wasn't allowed to attack LA Knight. And it's just like, well, you're still the bitch in this situation then. Like you had to walk away from the situation because your boss told you to walk away, not because you can actually kick his ass. And again, yeah, people are still cheering that. And it's just like, I don't get you people. I just don't get you people. Yeah, that definitely a harder hook to sell as far as the main event goes, as opposed to like you were talking about earlier, the SmackDown side of things. When that's your highlight right there, Solo versus Jay.
Well, I wouldn't say that's the highlight, and I think Raw has its hook right now, but it has nothing to do with Roman Reigns or the Bloodline. The hook on Raw right now is OFME and Bron Breakker. All they have to do is look at each other and these people, and people are going crazy.
Yeah, that was again because I did not watch last week's Raw. It was something that I had missed out on. So came into this one a little bit cold. And then Netflix being Netflix, every time I hit watch from beginning, they drop me into the live feed like a bunch of assholes. So I didn't get the full context of Bron Breakker asking everyone about Obafemi this week. I feel like he went directly to Paul Heyman, and there were a couple of stages before that on Raw that helped be a little more informative about what was going on here.
But yeah, this is by far the most interesting thing going on Raw. It's essentially kind of carried the show the last 2 weeks. No one in their right mind wouldn't want to see this match, of course.
Yeah, but they've also put themselves in a very weird situation where they're like, and we've talked about it. They're like, hey, Braun, you're going to be a tag team wrestler now. And it's just like, well, why'd you do that?
I don't know why they took the belt out of the Street Profits. I do not. I don't. It's a very strange situation. I don't know why Logan Paul needs to still be on TV. He could use a rest from TV. The Maxine Theory thing is okay, I guess. It's just never gonna go all the way with him. And it's and the whole
Oh,
thing is dragging is kind
yeah.
of it's it. It's like it brings down Breaker, but it doesn't. If he can separate himself from them and do his thing with Obafemi, of course, there's not a person on the planet who doesn't want to see that. A sane person on the planet who doesn't want to see that.
Right. Yeah. If you're a wrestling fan, you want to see it. 'Cause that didn't happen on NXT, did it? They weren't
No.
same time frame.
No, I don't believe
So
they were at all, no.
yeah, like that's definitely a future versus future thing. And I do like the framing of how mad Bron Breakker is about being passed over is the future already.
Oh yeah,
He
it's a
should be
very
like nothing has
yes.
really happened to him. He hasn't eaten a big L that's like, oh, well, they really screwed up Bron Breakker. He got
Yes, the actually the
injured and it's like he hasn't gotten, He definitely
It
hasn't
was
gotten
the
the
loss.
momentum back since the injury.
The losses, two losses to
Oh,
Seth.
to Seth.
The cage match loss to Seth is what brought this on. And then the cage match loss to Seth, followed by Heyman blowing them off. I mean, and now, okay, we're still integrating Heyman into this, with Heyman and Brock paying their respects to Oba. And, now Breaker said, Heyman's like, do you think Oba Femi is the future? Yeah, it's very well done, because again, you can feel the reasons why Breaker would feel this way. You can in some ways, if you've ever been passed over for a promotion or whatever, you can understand how Bron Breakker feels. It's a kind of a different way we look at it, but yeah, this is essentially what's
Now, I
happened to
think it's a
him.
perfect way to look at it. You know
Yeah.
what I mean? Like I feel like everyone should be able to sympathize with that, where you're just sometimes sitting there kind of going like, what the why wasn't that me? Like, that's so weird. And Bron Breakker, it definitely could have been him, but he definitely got sacrificed just so they could have a Phantom Shield reunion without poor Dean Ambrose, who
Yeah.
just evidently has been reduced to a mask now.
You weren't touched by that moment.
I had seen enough memes by that point that I was not touched by that moment watching it nearly a week later.
Okay.
So that having all the ghost images put in there for who that might be, including. Didn't Kurt Angle put his own image out of him being in there, I want to
Yeah,
say?
he did. Yes, he
So
that was funny. Yes.
I saw enough memes that again, this is what happens when you don't watch things on time sometimes. The Bron Breakker stuff is kind of interesting. It's another one though that I don't love the situation for Bron Breakker. Like, that would be really interesting for him to be the one to beat Oba Femi. Like, that
Yeah,
would really raise an eyebrow or
I mean,
three.
Oba isn't undefeated, so you could have him lose, but I don't think he will. Maybe the best Breakker can hope for is at least they have a first match that ends in like a double DQ or a double count out or something, so that then they can keep it going a little bit before
Oh.
Breakker finally has to take the L, and instead of it being a one and done situation.
Right. Yeah, that's and I guess that's where my head went to, where in the end I just don't see them at this point picking Breakker over Oba, at least in this initial phase. Can Breakker
No.
get a win back somewhere down the line? Sure. That wouldn't wouldn't really shock me if both of
I'd
them
make
end up being there for 15
I
or
mean
20
it's I mean
years or
I'm don't be
whatever.
wrong. I'm right. Don't be wrong. I'm glad this is on the show. I'm glad they're doing this now for this just for the sake of the show currently. But long term, I probably wouldn't have pulled the trigger on this one until after Oba wins the title.
And I think the other thing that if you wait until that happens, I think you can do a good job of building back up Bron Breakker. You
Yeah.
know, even just have him be the shining star of the tag team for a while and give him a reason to break up with the rest of the Vision.
Yeah.
Because, he doesn't really need them now. Like, he just, he really does not need them now.
No.
So, I think it would work out on both ends, you know, if they decided to do something like that. You know, I it might be good for, well, I still don't know what you do with Austin Theory.
I
You
don't know
know,
either. This is, I mean,
you
this is obvious.
give
We're obviously in a
it
last
helps.
chance, and it's just.
It helps to have and why am I blanking on her name?
Maxine Dupree.
Maxine Dupri by his side to freshen up the character a little bit. It seems weird, over the top, lovey dovey kind of stuff. But you can still, kind of have the vindictive boyfriend kind of situation going on if you want to. Or have him always say that his opponent is looking at his woman. And, it'd be something to build feuds around if you want to do that kind of an angle. So yeah, I mean, there's some stuff that you can do with him, but yeah, I just yeah, just his ceiling seems so much lower than any of the new guys that we complained about earlier in the show.
But he's getting his, but he's, but he's getting all this TV time right now.
Yeah, he is getting a lot of TV time. And oof. Yep, maybe one of the reasons that that Raw does not quite feel the same is SmackDown at the current moment. We got two returns in the women's division on the show that I did not watch. And I suppose it's a little bit interesting that yet again Liv Morgan is in the back seat of her own feud. It already feels like Stephanie Vaquer and Becky Lynch are the two that should be fighting each other for the title, and Liv Morgan's just kind of hanging out at the side here.
Yes, Liv's had a very strange reign. I mean, it's of course she's over, of course. It's not that she's not over. It's just that she's, again, she's not defending this belt. She's running around so much with the judge, other Judgment Day stuff. And yeah, and now we've brought Becky Lynch back to challenge her. We brought Stephanie McCare back, of course, to try to get her title back after WrestleMania. Not sure these things needed to happen at the same time. Because again, we're left with the with the weird dichotomy situation, or the weird dynamic of, now these two baby faces are yet again at each other's throats, and it's just,
Yeah, and
can we just
they
knock this
like
off with this?
Becky, yeah, Becky Lynch, and I guess maybe this is a perfect situation to, talk about what I talked about earlier. Stephanie Vaquer hasn't been on the main roster long enough to pull off this gray area thing. Becky
No, she doesn't.
Lynch has definitely had the back and forth over the years at this point now. She's been around for like a decade plus. You can do more gray area with her. And I don't know. I mean, Liv's just kind of tried to be generally unlikable, but everyone's kind of likes her anyway.
Yeah, it's things
So.
have turned for her in that way, yes.
Yeah, with Becky and Stephanie really being kind of featured in the mano a mano situation this week, like, to me it was another item that made me feel like Liv Morgan was being overshadowed. And it's just kind of weird, like, she
Yeah.
almost needs to pull
Further.
the whole and she's never gonna do it. When Io Sky was the champion, and it was Rhea Ripley and who else was looking past? Was it Charlotte looking past Io? I'm
Charlotte
trying to
was
think
looking
if,
past.
because Io kept on interjecting herself and going, "Hey, I'm the champion
No,
now."
it was Rhea and Bianca.
Oh, Rhea and Bianca. Okay, I knew that it was. I knew that it was three women. Just couldn't remember the third. So yeah, this almost kind of has a similar situation to it, where, and like you said, like, both of these comebacks didn't need to happen. it's kind of one of those weird situations where, yeah, I kind of understand. You don't want Becky to go back after the, was it the US Championship or is
Yeah, I
that the
see. Yeah, I see. Yeah,
Intercontinental?
I see. I misspoke earlier when I referred to it.
So, yeah, like I definitely don't want Becky Lynch to come back and go back after the IC title. Like I feel like that's beyond her at this
Right,
point.
no.
It also feels like Stephanie could finish the story one way or the other, you know, with Liv Morgan. Even if they want to give Liv Morgan the big win over Vicaire, at the end of the day, you know, it feels like it's her story to run with first and then bring Becky Lynch back after that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, for some reason they brought both of them back at the same time and it's kind of made for a weird situation here.
Yeah.
And then was there anything else? I don't think there was.
No, not really, no.
Oh, I guess there was the only other thing there with it did involve Judgment Day here.
Yeah, yes,
Sol
yeah, it did. It did.
Ruka ends up employing Io Sky to help her to victory against Roxanne Perez and Raquel Rodriguez.
Yeah, no, this was fine. If you don't have anything else to do with either of them, putting them together as a team in the short term, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, that could be one of those interesting things. I was wondering if they were going to go team with it. I know that Sol mentioned getting the IC title back. To me, it would be weird to hot potato it back to her at this
Yeah.
point. Wouldn't be
And later
shocking, but
and later
I wouldn't
Soul
love it.
was yeah, right. And then later Soul was confronted by Lyra Valkyria, who is just looking crazier and crazier. Yeah. She's going all in with this. You know, good for her for in that regard.
Yeah, it's been kind of one of those interesting ones where they're deciding to try something new. It's an old trope at Stunt Granny here now. She needs some dubs.
Yeah.
You know, as she I great, she beat Bailey.
Who hasn't?
Fair. Completely fair. But she needs some other wins, you know,
Yeah,
like
sure.
you can get some mileage off the Bailey win, but she needs to you know, take on some enhancement talent or something. I don't know who you have sitting around, but have her get a couple of L's on or a couple of dubs on TV here. So yeah, I guess it'll be interesting to see. So yeah, feels like they could do EO and Soul as a team, but just because of all the other stuff happening around it, I'd also not be completely surprised if everyone stays in the singles division either.
Right.
Yeah, I think that it does about do it for Raw here. Because, yeah, I mean, they only had 5 matches in 2.5 hours, so. Not a whole lot extra on Raw to talk about here. Anything else that you want to cover before we close up shop, sir?
No, we can close it up.
Well, I talked about it before the show here. Oh, and I did not realize this when I got this one. On my trip down to vacation, one of my favorite stops is Mirror Twin Brewing in Lexington, Kentucky. One of my favorite breweries that I get to visit on a somewhat regular basis, maybe at least every other year. They always have delicious beers. This one is a Mirror Twin and West Sixth collaboration beer. And it is delicious. It is lemon berry wheat. It is a blueberry lemonade wheat ale. And it is fantastic for this time of the year. Like there's just kind of a nice low hint of blueberry in there. The lemonade part really stands out. It's not quite as sour. So, if you're not into sours, this might be a little more up your alley. If it's kind of more in the shandy area, I'm not really that big of a shandy guy, but it definitely has that kind of fruity vibe of a shandy with a lighter drinking beer. And I'm assuming this thing, 5% alcohol. So, not a high ABV. Good summertime beer. Should one find themselves in Lexington, Kentucky, 100% go to Mirror Twin Brewing. And if you're really into craft alcohol, there is a sake place just across the street from them. So, you can go get your Japanese on too, should one want to, in that very same neighborhood in Lexington, Kentucky. So, Bell Time beer suggestion from Matt DeFrank 11. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Download us at other places like YouTube Music and iHeartRadio. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.